Computer, this is Data.
I'm an android. I'm
Rangers League basketball.
I was processing all of the information.
Processing.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Rangers League basketball.
Analytics was crap.
Does not compute.
Just because you got good stats doesn't mean you're a good team.
Hello and welcome back to the Lakers Exceptionalism Podcast. My name is Tom Z, joined as always by Tim, aka Krangis McBasketball. And today we are here to talk a little bit more about Anthony Davis in lineups around Anthony Davis. And is he playing more center, which he's playing about half his time right now, which I found interesting at center. But Tim, what's up, my guy? We're here to talk. Go dive a little bit deeper into one of the stars of the team start to the season.
Yeah, it's AD needs to play more center has been a talking point forever with the Lakers. And I think it's a little bit funny that like the one time the team's actually doing it is the time where it seems to not have worked all that well, more on the defensive end than offensively. But I don't have the cleaning the glass numbers in front of me, but on Basketball Reference, all minutes. Oh, okay. I was going to say, so B-Ball Reference has him at 55% at center after being 40% 2 years ago and 10% last year.
Yep. Yeah. So 45% at power forward, plus 1.6 differential at power forward, 55% at center, minus 7.2 in the differential, which is, you know, about 8.8 difference, which is 8.8 difference, and which is surprising. But, you know, I don't think it is. We've been talking the first couple games about how just the fact that like it's a result of them not having wings. That when they play three of Rondo, Westbrook, and Bazemore, or some guy who's a guard and not a three, their defense is really bad. And it doesn't matter that Anthony Davis is at center. And when they play like a DeAndre Jordan or a Dwight Howard, their offense goes down, but their defense goes down more. And it actually makes them a little bit more positive. So, you know, it's just kind of another, like a symptom of another disease. I feel like we talked a little bit with Harrison yesterday about that. Do you think that's part of it? Or is this also like fixable with what we have?
I think it can be improved, but short term before THT's back, before Reese is back, I think at least defensively, the Lakers are, there's not a whole lot more they can do with this group offensively. And really the pitch for AD at center has always been an offensive thing. It's always been, you know, the defense is fine. They're going to be great. They'll be elite, but we need this offense to be more exciting, be more dynamic. And that's just kind of what we've had as our status quo with Frank Vogel teams with the Lakers. Now that the defense isn't quite there, we need to reweigh each of the two options and see how him playing where impacts things. So offensively, I do think there's stuff that the team can do a little bit better so far. If you look at him at the center position, he's played a little bit more minutes. If you look at times where he's played center and then Westbrook and Rondo have also not been in the game. So there's take out the non-shooter guards and the non-shooter bigs. That's only been 8 minutes so far where it's really AD surrounded by shooters, and 80% of the shots in those 8 minutes for the Lakers have been either threes or at the rim. And that's like, I think they're like 1 for 6 on the threes, but that's the kind of like process based stuff that at least offensively is kind of the proof of concept. And I think they can be a little bit more creative. There's a little bit more they can do, but AD's kicking butt so far in the post this year. His individual efficiency percentile is like an 80th percentile or something like that. And I really think it's going to come down to if this group is viable defensively or not. And that's going to dictate exactly how much they can do with this group.
Trying to do a little quick math here, but it looks like, you know, I'm looking also at cleaning the glasses lineup filter, which filters out some of the garbage time, which there has been some a little bit in that Suns game. And I guess that Thunder game, technically not because it was a comeback. Anyway, a lot of these lineups, Tim, are like Rondo, Westbrook, Rondo, Monk, Melo, Westbrook, Monk, Melo, with Anthony Davis at the five. Like how he cannot be that good to stop three guys who can, you know, either miss a rotation, not be on the same page with a teammate, miscommunicate, or just generally let a guy go by him one-on-one without any kind of action to cause an advantage, you know?
Yeah.
All these guys have downfalls, or Rondo's gambling, trying to get a steal, or, you know, so it's, again, to the pod we did yesterday, that the defensive cards Frank's been given is not great, but it seems that the team is just a little bit better, a little bit more like themselves when they have someone next to Anthony Davis, at least in the first couple of games of this season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd agree with that. And it's part of it is that it's much easier to just get AD out of the play as the offensive team. If you know AD is going to be guarding the center and the center can shoot at all, or even if he can't shoot, like, you can either space him out above the 3-point line, above the break, or having him set some sort of off ball screen, or in some way occupy Anthony Davis just for a second or two. And then there are dudes on in these lineups that you can just get by or will make mistakes. So it's much harder as a defense to be able to overcome the fact that you only have one shot blocker when you have as many breakdowns as you do. So LeBron out there, he's going to put out little fires, but that's not quite the same as like being able to legitimately defend the rim the same way that AD can, or that Dwight or DeAndre can. Once Ariza's back and you can have like LeBron, Ariza, AD in the same group, and a Bazemore in the same group, and you're really limited to like one poor defender, let's say it's Malik Monk, I think a like Bazemore point of attack, Monk chaser, Braun, helper, Ariza, perimeter big, AD, mobile big, or anchor big. That's a lineup that offensively should kick butt, fully spaced. You can run a bunch of Braun AD stuff, or just give the ball to AD, and there's going to be tons and tons of space. And then defensively, I think that should be a decent group. So that's the kind of lineup that I'm looking for once Ariza's back, if we can get to that point. But right now it's Melo and Monk out there, and you don't have the second shot blocker. So it's that sort of stuff is causing problems. Or when Rondo's out there, it's causing issues. Or Westbrook, he's been good in some areas, bad in others. So it's been really challenging for the team to put out a good group that on both ends, because they either or defenders, and there aren't too many guys that do both from the guard and wing positions.
Let me throw a couple lineups and the results with you with Anthony Davis at the five. AD, Melo, Austin Reeves, Russell Westbrook, Rondo, -46.8 and 18 possessions. Not good. AD, LeBron, Bazemore, Bradley, Westbrook, no shooting on that. It's LeBron and Bazemore. And that is a -56.3 and 16 possessions. Not good. And here's another one. AD, Melo, Bazemore, Reeves, Rondo. Like, again, it's Melo, and there's a little bit better shooting, but Rondo's out there, -46.2 in 13 possessions. If you want to flip to the good end, what's made sense in what we're talking about is it putting like an Austin Reeves in for a Monk in a Westbrook, Reeves, LeBron, Melo, AD lineup. +58.8 in 17 possessions. So they're either amazing or they're like giving up everything in these lineups. And it's so obvious which ones are working, which ones aren't. And it's just like, they're equally distributed.
Yeah. Yeah. It's tough. And I mean, sample size are tiny. So of course, like these numbers are like ludicrous right now,
but they are loud.
They're telling us what has happened. Yeah.
The film is loud too.
Right. Right. And I mean, Bazemore, LeBron, and Reeves a little bit to a lesser extent. Those are like the three guard or wing players that I like, I think I'd say I trust. So those three, AD, and then from there you have that fifth guy. I would love to see like that four man group, how that four man group has done. Let me see if I can pull that up. Mm-hmm. Because that is a group to me that I would imagine would fare pretty well. But when you have multiple poor defenders, whether it be Rondo and Monk or Monk and Melo or Rondo and Melo, that's too much. That this AD alone isn't going to be able to stop that. So let me see. So Braun, what did I say? Bazemore,
Reeves, AD.
I don't even know if this group has played together. Let's see. They have played 3 minutes. Interesting. 3 minutes and there are +1 in 5 possessions on offense and defense. So like 10 possessions, basically. Gross. So this group played 3 minutes with Westbrook as the fifth guy. And then they played less. They played one possession with DeAndre. Or no, I'm sorry, with Dwight as the fifth guy. I think I'd like to see some more Westbrook, Reeves, Bays, Braun, Davis. I think that group can work. What do you think?
Yeah, that's, I think that was the lineup. Hold on. I just looked at one. What'd you say? Westbrook, Reeves, Bays, LeBron, Davis.
Yep.
I thought I saw, sorry. I can't find it anymore. Okay. There's a Melo one.
They barely played.
Yeah. Yeah. It's LeBron hasn't played a lot. It is interesting to see how many different lineups have possessions already for this team. Mm-hmm. It is quite a bit. So it's hard to build some of that continuity. Crazy that to me that Avery Bradley is walked off the street and become an important part of this team. It's just absolutely ridiculous that it's to that point, but it's true.
Yep.
He hasn't been great. He's been okay, actually, but it's not ideal in these non-shooting lineups, but they just get roasted out there for a few minutes with Monk out there or Rondo. They're like, we need something at the point of attack off the bench. And he's brought that at least.
Yeah, as long as Avery Bradley is playing good defense and hitting wide open corner threes, which is what he's getting, he's probably going to fare well. I don't want to see any more of these stupid, Tom, they ran that dumb play we didn't like that they ran 2 years ago for Bradley and then last year for like KCP. Oh my goodness, I thought we were done. Like, we're going to hand it off and then run you off of like 15 different screens around the free throw line. And Avery Bradley's going to take a pull-up mid-range jumper. Is not like that should not be the first option in the play.
Yeah. I can't disagree with that, especially with all the different scores. I mean, Tim, I know you'd much rather see a mid-range Melo ISO over a Carmelo or over
Avery Bradley. I think I would, actually.
No, I know you would. That's what's funny. So how do the Lakers, is this simply fixing the right guys around NED at the five lineup, playing less of it, at least in the time being? Is that, you know, just kind of a factor of all these injuries, you think? What's the short-term fix to this?
The short-term fix is you can only really use this group with a couple specific sets of Lakers. And then it comes down to, can we solidify a couple minutes a game second half of quarters when AD is going to be at the five, where we can get Reeves out there, Braun out there, and some of these guys, other guys out there. And I guess the issue with that is with how the Lakers play LeBron, he's not playing the second half of, well, he's not playing, I guess, the final third of the first or the third quarter. So this could be a closing second quarter lineup. It could be a closing the game lineup. Or it might be a like middle of Q1 or Q3 type of group. And those are the times I'd love to see maybe this group just get some solid late second quarter minutes. And just every single game, we're going to give this group 6 minutes and see what it can do. And I bet they're going to do well in those situations. And defensively, you can switch stuff when AD's at the five. And the Lakers have been doing that. It's, you know, been up and down a little bit game by game, but in the most recent game, they switched him. I think it was 10 out of 12 ball screens that AD was all involved in when he was at the five, and they fared well. That defensively is how I'd approach things. Offensively, I mean, if you've got Braun out there with him or potentially Russ out there with him, like you can get some ball screen game working. You can just dump the ball off to AD in the post. I don't like, or I'll say that so far, the Lakers haven't been too successful when they're trying to run these cross screens for AD, where like he's standing at the left block and they have a guy run over from the right block, screen on his man for him to try to come to the right block and catch the ball. He almost always catches the ball like the 3-point line instead because the defense is overplaying it. They know it's coming. It's very slow. It's very predictable. Instead of that, it's much easier to get low post entries when AD is the screener for somebody else at first. Because then his man, instead of being able to overplay him and like front him in the post or something, they have to do something. They have to pay attention to someone else. So running a flex cut or something where AD is setting a screen where he's standing in the paint or at the block, that is the type of situation that then you immediately throw him a post entry. So I would love to see more of that to get him low post position. Cause when he's down there, he's been doing pretty well. And then once he's down there getting some more action off ball, we've talked about in the past, won't dig into it super deep today, but if they double from the high side, you know, cut, if they double from the baseline or the weak side, set those pin in flare screens. And we've seen that here and there, just not consistently. But if they can get more of that going, and Vogel has talked about that's something they're working on, or they will be working on, that'll be really helpful. And then I think split cuts are another thing this team can turn to a lot more when they dump the ball into AD in a more proactive way to prevent help defense rather than a reactive way. So like getting the ball, we'll say LeBron goes and sets a screen for Malik Monk or an Austin Reeves, or once Ellington's back on Wayne Ellington. These are guys who they can catch and shoot with their footwork the right way and hit these shots. It wasn't that way with Caruso last year. KCP struggled with it at times. Wayne Ellington's great at this. Monk's great at this. You can get them catching off of some motion. And then if the defense switches that action, LeBron has inside position on his new defender, and then he slips to the rim. So that sort of stuff with shooters weak side should generate a lot of high quality looks. And I would love to see the Lakers go to that. And whether you get a good shot from it or not, what it's going to mean is the defenders involved in that action won't be helping on AD. They're going to be defending what they're defending. So if AD, you know, we call out a split cut and then AD just goes to work and ignores it, it's still helping you because that way the defense isn't there. The extra defense isn't there. So whether he lets it play out and then if nothing's there, he goes 1v1, or he passes to it, or he goes 1v1 while it's happening, any of those three options should yield better offense than just standing around with him in the post.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have The Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get The Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
I mean, at least he's been a little bit better, it seems like, not turning the ball over. He's gotten a couple nice skip passes, but they're just kind of strong side zoning him, not really like hard doubling. You know what I mean? Like they'll throw a guy underneath him at the block, but that he'll just turn around and take the mid range. Like, so for context, right? 19-20, 41% of AD shots were in the mid range. Last year that went up partly because his shots at the rim went down, right? So 42% in 19-20 at the rim, 32% at the rim in last year. And he shot up to 53% in the mid last year. So he's sacrificing getting to the rim for taking more mid range shots. Which is not great. He's not a great mid-ranger as we've talked about. His getting to the rim percentage has gone up so far this year, back to 42%. And the mid-range has kind of split the difference. It's up from 19-20, but it's less than half of his shots now at 47%. And he's taking fewer threes than he has since 17-18 as a percentage of his shots. So, I mean, again, this is all small sample. This is not very... like exactly what it's going to look like. This is just giving us marrying that with the eye test, Tim, that you're talking about, that he has been getting to the rim better. And I do think part of that is a product of Russell Westbrook able to get him the ball from different angles and set him up a little bit easier over the top.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'm looking at his synergy post up data, and six of his 16 shots in the post so far have been jump shots, which seems low to me. That seems lower than what it's been. And I'm happy with that. I'm happy with him hitting hook shots or getting to the rim, attacking the rim, whenever that defense is sending that, like you said, that strong side zone, they're not trapping him hard. They're not trying to force a turnover. They're more just deterring him from getting to the rim. And if you just let everybody stand around, you don't try to take advantage of that with those weak side pin and flare screens or anything, he's going to take a mid-range jump shot that's going to be contested. His man's there. And maybe it'll go in. A lot of times it's not a high-value shot. For certain periods of time or certain games or certain weeks, when he's feeling it, it doesn't matter. Like, that's just like, you know, what you did on defense doesn't matter. AD's great. But over the full course of a season, that is not been who he is. So you want to be more proactive about that. And I'm pleased. And you mentioned like Russ getting him the ball in different ways. I've been happier with some of the post entries we've seen him get last year to this year. I think having Rondo back and then having Westbrook in there, they're getting him the ball in better positions. They're feeding him better. They're just the placement on balls they're passing to him is better than it was last year in a way where he doesn't have to concede position that he's carved out in order to go chase a bad pass. And it's not like it would have been a turnover, but the accuracy is good. It's the placement wasn't where it needed to be. So better post entries, him getting better position has resulted in him being more aggressive. And I'm really happy to see that so far. So this is the type of AD as a post scorer that the Lakers need. And you know, so many things this year so far haven't been working out well, but this is one of those areas that's working out pretty well so far. And I'm really happy with that.
Yeah. So far, it's looked better. What do you see with his free throws and his three? His three has not looked great. He's taken them with confidence, but sort of dropped off of the last few games. Feels like he's only taken a couple. And then again, his free throws, struggling again, 72%. Is this cause for concern? I know a lot of times people like to link those kind of, how is your form looking? How are you shooting overall in your, you know, just your technical ability. So anything you're seeing from that perspective?
I'll start with the free throws. He, if the season were to finish right now, he would have a career low free throw percentage right now. And it's not all that much lower than it was last year, but it's a good bit lower than the about 80% free throw shooter he's been over his career as a whole. So that's not something I'm too worried about. It'll only be a thing if it just keeps happening, but odds are it'll get better. What I'm pleased with is the fact that he's getting 7.6 free throw attempts a game, up about a shot and a half from last year. So that to me is encouraging, because even if you're shooting 74% or 73% on free throws, that's good offense. So whether it's good or great free throw shooting, like, I'm okay with that. If he were shooting 50%, it'd be a different story, but he's shooting well enough that I'm not uber concerned. And I'm just more happy with his aggressiveness. And I'm pleased that he's not letting that lack of performance with those free throws cause him to be less aggressive getting to the rim. Now with the threes, it's been like really bad. It would also be a career. Well, no, not quite a career low. He way back when he was shooting 0.1 or 0.2 per game, you know, was hitting 8% of them or 0% of them his rookie year. He's at 14% right now, I believe. And that's on three attempts a game, which is the same as it was last season. So I'm happy to see same 3-point attempts per game, but higher free throws a game. That's encouraging to me. I don't think he's all that great of a three-point shooter. He needs to be someone that's catching and shooting open threes like a Marc Gasol would, or like an Avery Bradley is, or some of these other guys that, like, you need to know that you're not a 38% free throw or 3-point shooter and take the easy ones. And if you don't have the easy one, go run a dribble handoff or go give it to somebody and then post up. I just don't want to see him forcing them or taking him super early in the shot clock. Cause it's not his game. It's not him at his best. He had that one good 3-point shooting season on the title team. Other than that, it hasn't been encouraging. So that's just another place where, like, if you can fine tune AD's tendencies, he can be a much more effective basketball player. And part of that's just up to him.
He is 2 for 14 from three on the season. Which is not great.
Not great. Small sample, but we don't think he's going to be a good 3-point shooter. So it's not like, I'm not all that surprised. He's probably only a couple shots underneath what the percentage he'll end up with for the rest of the season.
How about this, Tim? We're talking lineups. I found this interesting. The Anthony Davis, Carmelo, Bazemore, Monk, Westbrook combination go figure. Spacing. I know the defense is suffering with Melo and Monk on the court at least, but 29 possessions and 50% of their shots are coming at the rim.
I like that.
50%. That's good. That's something that you can build on and being a great offense. And hopefully you can be a little bit better than your bad defense. But yeah, we talked a little with Harrison. I don't really see them leaning into one way or the other right now, kind of splitting the difference. And it's not looking good on either sides of the ball. I guess we'll real quick just go to Anthony Davis's defense at the different positions, what you've seen. I like mentioned with Harrison, I don't think I've seen him as much as a weak side defender, as much as I thought. I guess he is kind of battling this ankle injury right now. Or knee bump, whatever it was. What do you see from AD's defense lately?
I think he's active. I don't know that he's flying around all over the place like we're used to seeing. And I think part of that is when the perimeter defense is better, like when it was better last year, if Caruso or KCP were to get like driven past, they weren't like we weren't seeing like clean blow bys to the point where the rotating big man had like half a second to get over there. It was like, we're going to ride him. We're going to make this tough. And then while you're already dealing with that back pressure, oh, here comes AD and you're in trouble. And that's what it looked like 2 years ago. Whereas this year we're seeing some just like coverages blown or individual assignments blown to the point where like he doesn't have a shot at a block. So I think he's being active. He's certainly mixing it up with rebounds. He has more rebounds than he did either the past two seasons on a per game basis overall. And then and defensively, his offensive rebounds per game have like tripled almost from last season. So actually, yeah, more than tripled from last season, 4.2 per game instead of 1.7. So that's nice. Defensive rebounds are up. And his blocks, what was it? Your prediction was what, 3 blocks a game?
Yeah.
Is that what it was? Okay. He's at 2.4 right now, which is still almost a full block per game above what he was last season. It's kind of, it's a little bit above his career average. I don't know that we're going to see him get to 3. I don't know. Do you think this is like a lineup thing or is it like a AD isn't quite himself?
No, I think he's doing still a lot on offense and, you know, it's just, I expected the Lakers, if they want, can choose to go a little bit away from the Anthony Davis in the post offense if they wanted to and kind of save him for hard rim rolls and you know, attacking in the dunker spot and just kind of, I guess, maybe you get in the post to create a double and then kick it out that on a plan, you know, with something on the weak side. That's not really how they play, though. Hopefully we see it. But I think it's a lot of the offensive, you know, role now, especially with LeBron being out, falling on his shoulders.
Yeah, he's having to do a little bit more offensively. That's probably taking a little bit of energy out of that stamina bar that you like to talk about on the defensive end. And I think that's just a natural thing we're probably seeing. He's playing big minutes. This team's had an overtime game. They're playing some back-to-backs super early yet again. So I'm not all that concerned, but I'm pleased with a lot of what we've seen from him. And as the better defenders get healthier, and as this team's fielding better lineups, we're going to see the team success go up. And I think we're going to start to see AD accrue even more of these counting stats as well when defenses have to take shots later in the shot clock that they normally wouldn't want to take. Or they're, you know, having to battle to get by THT and he's got that long arm back pressure and then, oh, there's AD. I didn't notice him. Like that sort of stuff, I think will come in time. I don't feel very good about my AD defensive player of the year prediction right now, but I think it's more on the team than it is on him. He would just have to be putting up some crazy numbers right now. So he's doing well. And the fact that he's switching more when he is playing center is going to take him away from blocking shots and it's going to take him away from getting rebounds. So that's another important thing to consider. And we'll have to evaluate how his perimeter defense is looking over time. And I was actually surprised there were times against, gosh, I think even against OKC with SGA where like the Lakers were sending a double team when AD was guarding a guard. And I know they did the same thing against Memphis, I think, right? I think he played in both. I think I'm remembering the right games where like, I was just surprised to see them try to bring him help. I thought they would just say, all right, AD, you're on an island, go make a play. We're not going to give the defense, we're not going to give the offense a 4-on-3 to pass to. And they opted to send the extra man. So that was a little bit puzzling to me. He's not the type of person you like send a double and then scram out of the way you might with like Dwight or DeAndre. But just another thing to note, you know, as we're evaluating, you know, as if he's switching more, we want to see him performing well in those switches. And if they're needing to send doubles, then that's, it takes a little bit of the shine off of what the Lakers are doing with that.
Yeah. Some of the advantage of having a guy like that on defense. Now their defense has been concerning. It's not just, you know, who's available. It's kind of a little bit of these, and it's going to take time for some of these guys just to learn Frank's scheme. You know, that's why I was talking to you the other day about the continuity that's there with Bradley and Rondo and Dwight. There's actually a little bit more than I think we had planned to originally have, especially with Rondo and Bradley becoming available late in the process for this, you know, the team composition. It just kind of became that way with some of these injuries, but that's what we're seeing out there. That's why Bradley's getting more minutes off the street, you know, one day on the Warriors and waivers and the next playing for us.
And I'll say this, LeBron's health is important to this team in so many ways. One of the ways that we've talked a little bit less about is more Bron enables the Lakers to play less Rondo. When Bron isn't out there, you have to have that second guy that can like actually play make. And I don't know that they're running sets frequently enough or trust Malik Monk is the other guy, because Nunn's not playing. If Bron's not out there, like that means we're going to see more Rondo, and Rondo in a lot of these lineups doesn't look all that good. It's not what we want to see. And it also means like if Bron's out, Rondo's out there and 80's at the five, that means Melo's playing power forward. And that's not, so then you've got at least two defenders you're worried about in that grouping. So Bron back, we see a little bit less Melo. We don't have to see Rondo potentially at all. And we've seen that for individual games. But if we can see more Bradley, more Reeves with LeBron in those 80 at the center lineups, I think we're just naturally going to see more success. And even if a group isn't winning, it's not going to be like a minus 50 net rating. It's going to be like a minus 10 net rating potentially. Mm-hmm. And the Lakers are at the point where they need to just, you know, close the floodgates with some of these groupings, even if they're not going to win every set of minutes and every grouping of players until like 80 small ball may not dominate or be what we want it to be until THT and Ariza are back, but it needs to be better than it is right now. And I think that's a big piece to it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that's a little bit of a, you know, overview of AD's game so far this season. Maybe we can do some of these shorter pods, Tim, talking about individual players. Maybe it's a little bit more evergreen for fans. Don't feel they have to like listen before or after the game or feel like a pod is gotten old. I will encourage everyone to go listen to the Austin Reeves pod again. If you haven't, it's really good insight from him. Tim asked a lot of in-depth basketball questions. I'm over here asking like what he's going to do in the hotel room when New Orleans on game 42, whatever. But it was a fun interview. Really, really excited for that guy. And he's been really important for this team and probably would like to see him get more like 25 minutes than 17 or whatever he got last game.
Yeah, he's a great player, and you could see that IQ really, really show through in how he was answering some of the questions. So go check that out if you haven't already. I am already working some agent connections to see if we can get some more Lakers on the pod. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. What we will have are those songs we talked about on the last pod. So keep an eye out for that.
Oh my goodness.
Maybe we can't get you LeBron, but maybe we'll get you, you know, a rewrite of a Disney song or something. So
till next time, we'll come back after this weekend, after some of these games, and try and break down. Hopefully the Lakers get a little bit of juice going. So talk to y'all next time.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.